you get that, Chuck?
One of our faithful church members passed along that old record to me.
Okay.
And
record, that's a novel term right there.
Well, actually it wasn't a record, it was a CD, but I call all of that stuff record.
Oh, okay.
And that is The Best of the Birds. And I did not realize that they had recorded that song, Jesus Is Just All Right. I thought the Doobie Brothers did it.
Hey.
The Birds did it before.
Well, I knew they'd read
the Doobie Brothers.
Oh, I knew they'd read their Bible simply because of Ecclesiastes.
They did. They had some. Yeah, you're right.
So, incidentally, along those lines, did you see the report that supposedly John Lennon, towards the end of his life, was very interested in the faith? And Yoko Ono's tried to kind of keep it under wraps, but a new biographer is kind of go back and look at his letters, and he was conversing with a lot of evangelicals there towards the end.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
The Beatles, all they sort of dabbled in all kinds of different things along the way,
right.
And I haven't heard that John Lennon ever converted.
Well, no, I mean we really don't know. It's just that you know, a lot of times it's just downplayed the fact that, you know, evangelical influence on them, which I think they had it. That's all.
Oh, sure they did. I mean, you know, even the statement that. They were more popular than Jesus at some point, showed that they did have some.
Yeah. At least they thought about it.
Yeah, they did think about it. That's right. And probably there was a lot of truth to that statement. I know they got slammed for it.
Right.
I think unfairly.
Yeah. No, I think he was just saying a fact. Very similar to when Jesse Ventura said that Christians they need a crutch. That's why they have Jesus.
Mm.
And, you know, remember Christians got all upset about that. And I never understood that because, like, well, okay. You know, yeah, we need a crutch. The same Jesus.
How else are we supposed to get it?
Yeah, you know. I mean,
we're sinners, man.
Yeah,
we got to have something.
That's right. Yeah, people who think they're okay and well, I just don't see them needing Jesus. So,
yeah, that's right.
Anyways. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We are.
Although those are interesting things.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people podcast about stuff like that, don't they?
Yeah. Well, people that have a lot of listeners and are more popular
than us. Oh, me. Well, yeah, you're right. We call this the Big Story Podcast, and we do try to relate it to
to
what we're into in Scripture. And, man, what a rich week. We are into right now, aren't we?
Absolutely. And just some very powerful personal passages in my life and of course, the biblical sense.
I want you to talk about those, but I do have to say, man, when I was reading through this week, and, of course, any of us who are going to speak on Sunday, I think try to read ahead some just so we know where everybody's been that week. But I found it really hard to land on somewhere that I thought not there was so much that could have been preached
right
this week, you know. I mean, because it's such a rich section, man, and the things that these prophets have to say is
right.
It's good.
Well, I remember an old preacher friend of mine said that when he's first called to ministry, he thought, how am I going to preach a sermon a week? Or at that time, he was in a traditional setting, so three sermons a week from now to the end of my life. And as he got older, he thought, boy, I've got more.
Yeah, how am I going to get it all in?
Yeah, and so
I just opened up my Bible and put my finger down and picked that passage where I did. So,
is that the Holy Spirit way of discerning?
That's right. Yeah, I'm kidding.
Well, we've got a plan, so we know where we're at.
Yeah, we do know where we're at, and even in Jeremiah, I mean, every chapter there's something that is so precious and so relevant.
Right.
It was just tough to land, although I did land, and it's going to be good. So,
good. Well, we look
forward to that. But why was this? You mentioned to me earlier this was such a good week for you as far as the reading goes.
Yeah, well, I just know I kind of keep up with the plan unless I'm preaching on Sunday, or a lot of times I'll read it by the book if I'm doing it with the youth. So I kind of always keep a hybrid, but keep up. So the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the Habakkuk, the Joel, the Jeremiah. Habakkuk was huge in my life. Before the age of 18, I heard a sermon about, you know, this here at the end, starting in verse 17, though the fig tree does not bud, there are no grapes in the vines, or the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my Savior. And that one was picked up more, at least in the sermon, in the context that I heard it, more than verse 19, which you often see on paintings and pictures in Christian homes. Mm. And one of the reasons why it was picked up and why I was so thankful for it, verse 17, 18, was it was trying to give us a trajectory of when you're young, this is what you need to think about. You know, and this was so helpful to me growing up as a child in the 90s. I was in the Clinton years in terms of parents were able to give their kids a lot of stuff. And I was really a product of that. I mean, you think about up to that time, up until 2001, I was the generation that had grown up without conflict, without a war, and had really not known anything of not getting what we wanted.
Right.
And so to be able to say at the beginning of your Christian life, I know you're excited about being a Christian, you're 16, you're 17, you're 18 years old, but this is what you need to be thinking about. This is what you need to be meditating about. I didn't know much, but I knew at the end of the day, I needed the joy in the Lord when those things didn't occur.
Mm.
So that was so helpful to me because, I mean, obviously I was quote unquote poor in college, and then other times, seasons of my life where I felt like I didn't have what I want or things weren't working out the way I wanted them to.
Do you think that and it must have been an incredibly hard thing to do, to listen to a prophet of God say it is not always going to be so prosperous in your life, and in fact we know for sure
that's hard.
That it's going to get hard,
and
even so,
yeah,
triumph in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord.
Yeah.
And we have people in that right now, man.
Right.
I mean, we've got some of our older guys have lost their jobs recently.
Right, yeah.
At a time when they don't need to lose their job, you know.
No.
Of course, there's never a time somebody needs to lose their job, but some folks have more time to recover from that.
Right, right. Yeah, no, absolutely. I guess for me, all I'm just extremely thankful for is that the principle of doing without, the principle of suffering, was given to me in a good time. In other words, I'm so thankful that I had that because there were lots of things that came in my life since then, since I was 18, and
will continue to.
And will continue to, but I can, but the bedrock was laid, and so I'm thankful for that, and it came from Habakkuk.
Cool.
So
that's cool.
The other passage I'd want to turn to, just if we had time, is Jeremiah 1.
Sure.
And the reason why I like Jeremiah 1, again, at a young age, again, this time period in my life between 16, 17, 18, I was wrestling with a call from the Lord to minister, to preach. And one of the things that I was wrestling with, I just thought it was so cool how Jeremiah was wrestling with that and thinking through that. You can see there in the call of Jeremiah, of course, obviously the Lord knew him in the womb. But then it goes on to say, verse 6, "Ah, sovereign Lord," he said, "I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child." Verse 7, "But the Lord said to me, do not say, I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." And one of the things that I just kept coming back to as I was struggling with a call to be a full-time minister and for this to be my life was this right here, the whole call of Jeremiah. I just really felt like I don't want to do this. I'm young. And again, I mean, this is. I mean, you think about those collegiate years when you're wrestling with vocation, and I know you went through some of the same questions.
Sure.
It was just very powerful. And then I coupled that with what I learned from Isaiah, which is go and preach to a people who don't want to hear. And that didn't really sound too appealing to me either. So I had these, in my mind, I had these two prophets that when you continue to read what they experienced, didn't look all that great.
Sure, you want to sign up for this?
Yeah. But at the same time, I felt the Lord compel me to that. And I just bring this up because it's been so helpful in my life when I think, why am I doing this? I really do want to quit. It's just the Lord coming back to you and saying it's about what He has called you to do and the idea of what that He will give you the words.
Yeah, and I don't have the reference in front of me. You may know it off the top of your head, but you continue to read Jeremiah and that passion to do what God called him to do was like a fire in his bones.
Absolutely.
And he could not do anything else.
Right, yeah.
I remember my day of joining up to the ministry. I always hated the word surrender.
Yeah.
I guess for some it is surrender. For me, it was one of those things where it was like, yep, this is what I need to be doing.
Yeah.
And my pastor at the time said, if you can do anything else,
right,
you better do it.
Right, yeah.
And the more that I just began to seek the Lord and try to be open,
yeah,
I don't think I can do anything else.
No, and that was the same advice.
Not that I don't have the ability, but right. I don't have the passion.
Right, absolutely, yeah. And that was the same advice I got. And I was just listening to a song, you can tell, a country music station I was listening to. It says, Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. And I was thinking, Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be ministers. Let them go be lawyers and doctors and such. And it's one of those things, and tell me if you agree with this, it's one of those things where it's like, everyone should say, consider something else, consider something else, consider something else. And if you still come back to it at the end of the day, but no, this is what I truly feel called to do, then it's like, okay, yeah, well, that's good. We needed to sort of test you. We needed to sort of see if you were really all about this. Because Jeremiah and Isaiah, that's your life.
Yeah. Yeah, and I maybe our the one difference is they only had God.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I had somebody in our life, a youth pastor, friends, Sunday school teachers, or whatever, saying, right, yeah, stick with it, man, you know, and we encourage you. But Jeremiah, he's out there by himself, man.
Right.
I mean, and we'll talk about it this Sunday. He only had like three people that even gave him the time of day for 40 years.
Right, yeah. And I think it's just the good, kind grace of the Lord that he gives us more. But then you will attest, and I can at some level, that the life of a prophet is lonely business at times.
Yeah. And anyway, well, good stuff, man. Helpful. Good stuff. Well, I'm glad these passages made a lot of impact on you. And send us your, you know, if you got, continue to send us, email Brent or email me, these times where you have something in the scripture has stuck out to you and you've gleaned something really special. We'd love to share it on the podcast or in the e-connection or whatever that might be. So
absolutely.
I'm trying to turn up the going out music.
That's fine.
See you next time.